Yes, I just gone 7:35 Central African time, and alhamdulillah, at that time of the morning, we join our very own Member of Parliament, and he's the councillor, and maybe my words are prophetic, he'll be a Member of Parliament soon, our very own Ahmed Parak. Councillor Ahmed Parak, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Shafaat. What a beautiful Sunday morning shining. What a beautiful day. Allah has blessed us with another day, Shafaat.
No, you say it well, and I like the way you embrace each day with such a enthusiasm and so much of spirituality, always coming and glorifying Allah for giving us such a beautiful day. And we always say, kis kis nemati apki rapki jutlaoge, and the answer is none. Well, you have been having a very busy schedule, but before we get to your schedule and what you're doing and how many meetings you're having and so forth, tell us what's the latest in the field of kafan dafan, Ahmed.
Shabbat, alhamdulillah, we are happy that one thing we have already started doing for the 2023, that, there's all the backlog in the KZN mortuaries we have more or less cleared. Now we're only waiting for DNA from the Pretoria labs, so those methods can come before court. That is the only thing that is holding back some of the cases at court level. But as far as postmortems are concerned, those bodies are actually removed from various mortuary. Yes, there is some pauper's bodies are there for the last year or so. That will be removed shortly. So we are getting onto the right track. And alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah, I think we are putting a lot of pressure on the Department of Health. Because you know what? You cannot leave the loved ones and in limbo and hanging for a long period of time, that there's no closure to this. People want closure to, especially when whatever happened, if a guy was shot or if he was murdered or anything, they want closure to that matter. And the very most important thing that I've been speaking to some of the Maulanas recently, that that we are not taking heed of, that is what is happening on the ground in terms of pre-marriage and after death. And I've seen this over and over in the last year and a half, 2 years, that we previously, our old folks could cope with the debt in the family because they have got, they got the full iman and they read on a daily basis the namaz and they read the namazes and all that. So, this is a major concern that, they cannot cope. And I think the time will come, if you're not going to do anything about it, you want to find people, our own people will be committing suicide because they cannot take it anymore. Now, I think the islands have to get together and do something about it and start talking. As soon as the mayat is over, after the 3 days, they need to go to the family, console them, and say what steps has to be taken and how to overcome the trauma that they have lost a loved one. And I can say from experience, I've got a lawyer that is like virtually has almost lost his business because, he can't cope. He lost his son, then he lost his wife. He just can't take it anymore. End of the day, he's a fully-fledged lawyer. He should be the first one to say, I can fight for so many people. I can defend them. I can defend myself in terms of this grief. And then, he's going for counseling. And now you go to white Yahoods, you go to them, and they do counseling. Yes, their counseling is totally different to how our Sharia law and Islamically, how we're supposed to be counseling somebody.
Ahmed, you hit the nail on the head, and you say, we're going to people that don't even understand the dynamics of Islam, that don't even know the ideology of Islam, and they're counseling you, and they're putting something else in your mind, Yeah, you can get captured by that, and with the woke culture and this culture, it's so dangerous. The other point that you made, you know, coping up with that, and, you know, when you and I grew up, we grew up with the extended family. We had our aunties, our uncles. We had, you know, we were all one united family. You, in your case, you had 11 brothers and sisters. You had a soccer team there. And, you know, you're always so united. Mom and Dad kept you all really united. And up till today, mashallah, I know Baiki was in my class, and we always, I could feel that muhabbah that he had. And we are brothers, even you, you know, Ahmed, you're like a brother to me. And maybe growing up in Spingo Beach, but it was like one big family. The other point that you are making is about, you know, the incidents of suicide. And this is even these games that the children are playing, or even youngsters. I mean, forget children, some men that are in their 30s are playing these games, you know, these Xbox boxes, and there's a PlayStation. And they're getting this messages, you know, from these games, you can do this, or you want to get into the next world, you must do this, press this button, or that. And maybe, you know, infusing the thoughts of suicide and so forth. We need to, as you said, address these issues, and we need to be professional about it. And, you know, sometimes, as you said, our leaders, inshallah, and our alims, inshallah, they should be the ones that should come to the fore and get into the psychology of how to, you know, de-scramble this type of message. Mazi, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, Shabbat, in fact, you know, I'm at the moment, you know, since I'm more or less settled with a lot of things that I've got on my plate, one of these things that I'm putting together with a team of proper Muslim psychologists, females, males, and find a, you know, venue. Venue is not a problem, because plenty our people have got beautiful venues in terms of small halls. They've got conference centers. You know, do on a workshop on the lady. Do workshop on the men. Do workshop on the youngsters when he has lost his mom or he has lost his dad. So, you know, this is what we have to do. And as you rightly said, that, you know, this new video games and all, we have to, you know, parents need to take heed of these. What kind of games are these? And they have to start stopping these things. Because, you know, the way the media is working and with all the social development things are happening, Shafar, at the moment with the speed, you and I can't cope anymore with what is happening outside there.
Yeah, I'm looking at this message on the screen. He says, Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan, Ahmed Pada, great conversation as usual. I do not miss this segment for anything. Ahmed touched on a very important topic of pauper's burial, and I got the impression that only after a year that the bodies are buried. And in the case of no papers found and so forth, what really happens? Is that burial documented? And generally, where are these bodies buried, even Muslim Ahmed? That's a good question there. How do you answer that?
Okay. Firstly, if it's a non-Muslim, Shafat, the waiting period is substantial for a non-Muslim. What we do actually is there's an inquest. You know, as soon as the body is in the government mortuary, the inquest docket is made. Inquest docket, when I talk about inquest docket, we mean SAP docket is made. So everything is logged into a case number has been given. And then at the morgue, what we do is before we even bury the pauper's body, then what we do, photograph is being taken. So, you know, all that has been taken. Then DNA is taken. Then that has to go to Pretoria. Say, down the line, in 3 years or 2 years, somebody comes and say, you know what, I'm looking for this person here. We say we don't know the name or anything. Then you have to go through the archives of all the photographs. Pauper in that year is missing for the last 3 years, say 2017. So we will take out all the photographs for 2017. Then we will do the DNA. By then, we will have the DNA testing from the Pretoria lab. Then we can match, and then we get some family DNA, and then we say, yes, we buried him in certain place. This is what actually happened, and then the police has got the docket, and we now need to deal with the police. That's all. As far as Muslim is concerned, there's no proper burial or anything like that. As soon as a Muslim has left this dunya, immediately, we come to know whether it's in the government mortuary, whether it's in a private mortuary. You know what happens is, if there's nobody claiming the body, whether you're Indian, black, Muslim, whatever, undertakers like vultures, they're like food trucks. they come and take the body and they put it into the parlor, what we call. They put it in there and they wait for this, for it. And eventually nothing happens. Then they ship that body to the government mortuary. They say, you know what, we picked it up, wrongfully we picked it up or something. You know, just they're trying their luck, in other words, because they make money out of these things. So it goes away back to the government mortuary, and the government mortuary has to do the same procedure, opening the process. But when we know whether it's in the non-Muslim undertaker, when we come to know, immediately we act, we get that body out of there. Somebody will come and tell us, you know what, that fellow is from Malawi, he's a cousin brother of mine, I know him, that undertaker, and this is what happened. Even after a few days or a week too, we still go there. And what happens, 9 out of 10, if it's a Muslim body, some undertaker will charge you about 400-500 rand a day storage. For 7 days now, 7 times 35, 3.5 grand we have to pay and take that body into our, do the paperwork, bring it into our system by you know, from our burial society, and then do the normal thing with the ghusl, janaza namaz, and bury the deceased. That's how we do it, Shabbat.
Yeah, jazakallah khairan for that. And in other words, if there's the non-Muslim paupers burial, so do they, you know, what they call this, burn the body? I mean, I'm trying to get the right term for that. You know, put in the oven and do they do that, or they bury the bodies? What they do?
Cremation is very, very expensive, Shafat. So we only bury. Whether it's non, whether it's a non-Muslim body, we bury. We don't cremate.
Hey, there's no cremation for that. And do they have the government have a special pauper's burial grounds, or, you know, how does that work?
Shafat, what happens is a contract has been given to, you know, the undertaker. It goes on a tender system, a contract on a year-to-year basis. What happens, who is come and give us the best price? The Department of Health and the SAPS get involved in this, and then we give it to the tender, to an undertaker. That undertaker takes it over when they phone for, they say they got 8 paupers burial. The undertaker will take the body and also get the coffin, and then they will bury in the government cemetery shop.
Dyer says, mashallah, lovely program, Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan and Councillor Ahmed Parak. Really, you guys know how to talk to the people, and you are really tugging at my heart this morning. I want to know from Ahmed Parak if he has statistics of how many Muslims experience, or how many Muslims had paupers burial, and what are the figures thus far, maybe for the past 10 years and so forth. How do you respond to Dyer there, Ahmed?
And yes, we do have stats on that. You know, in all our cemeteries in KZN, we have the undertaker have, you know, the burial society. We have stats on it. If you, when I was the chairman of Islamic Burial Council, we give the city every month a return. But after the 31st, by before the 7th of the next month, we must be able to tell them that in our cemeteries we buried X amount of people, and these were women, children, stillborn baby, whatever it is, age, gender, all that we have to submit it to the council to say that these are, and that goes into the national register. So that's where you pick up your annual debt. How many people passed away in South Africa, how many people passed away with accident, how many people passed away with suicide, how many people, how many murders took place, all that information we can give you, Shafar.
And the questions are flying in for Kafan Dafan here, and Brother Kasim says, I want to know from Ahmed Parak, great man indeed, what was his most challenging moment when it was when he was the president of the Islamic Burial Council? What a powerful question, Ahmed. Tell us, what was your most challenging moment?
Shafat, you know, the most challenging is when I had to fly out of right opposite Addington Hospital and it's about, you know, about maybe 150 to 200 nautical miles, they call it, with a helicopter into a container ship. One of the guys has committed suicide there, and he was in the bridge, and then we had to release his body from there because the captain of the ship refused and his staff refused to go and bring that guy down because they were really, really sick. And I was fortunate enough, the captain of the South African Police Department and the Department of Health, I know them well. They said, they're going, you want to come? I had that opportunity to go there, and I had to cut up the he had a small string that he tied himself and hanged himself from the bridge. And then I brought him down, and I threw with that body from the ship for about 200 nautical miles from out of Durban. And we brought the ship to Gale Street mortuary, and then the shipping agent got hold of the family in Pakistan, and then that's how we got the ball rolling. And within a day and a half, 2 days, we shipped that body back to Pakistan. And then the cause, when the family, actually, when I was liaising with the family, that they said that the wife was in London and he was having an affair or whatever, you know, I don't know, that I remember clearly. So that's how he went and committed suicide, the poor guy. And then that actually what happened. And that was one of the highlights. And then lot of the other ones, you know, I can write a book on especially when it comes to burial and death. You know, I picked one hand on the other side of the road, and one leg across the freeway. You know, fortunately, I have the privilege even now to, whenever there's a major accident or a gunshot or anything, I've got privilege to go beyond the line. The line, what they mean is the SAP corner of that area. I'll be able to cross that, and they, you know, because of the work I do over the years, and they know me for it, and that's how I help to get this thing moving. So that's what I do. And then the other one was a few years ago, you know, in Mierwen, just past the Mierwen Masjid, and then there's a crossroad there, and one of the guys, actually a colored guy, actually didn't stop, and his wife, his daughter, and himself, the driver. So they didn't stop, and the car spun, I think, maybe 3 or 4 times, and he actually subsided. And the wife broke her neck. She passed away on the scene. The husband actually had, he broke his leg, and we had to take him with the ambulance to the hospital. And the child actually flew out of the vehicle. And somebody screamed from the Uncle Ahmed, Uncle Ahmed, the baby. And then fortunately, I also had torches in my vehicle and all that. So we looked in the bushes nearby. And we looked. I think it maybe took about an hour and a half, Shafat, you won't believe it. And you know where the child was hanging? On the tree. So that's where, that was another highlight of my time, that I pulled that small child and brought the child down, and the child was dead already. And when we buried the mother and the child together, because it was maybe about 5 or 6 year old child and small child, and what a cute child. When I dropped that child from that tree, it was another, you know, that feeling when you get, when you do things like that, Shafari, unbelievable. You know, on Friday, there was a mother from in one of the hospital, and you know, about half past 11, just before Juma Namaz, and then that brother was like on my tail, and there was a council meeting at 2 o'clock. He was, I told him, don't worry, I will do everything on the WhatsApp for you. I won't be able to talk to you because I'll be in a council. I will set everything. And I sorted that thing out, and the body had to go to Peter Maris well, and we managed to get the postpone done. But, you know, the pereshani at that time, like, you know, he met me at the mall, you know, like, he's like cheering. I said, you know, don't worry, your family member will be buried today. You can, you know, you can take my word for it, it will happen today. I will make sure that it will. Although he says, you're not going to be here, you're going to be in a council, I won't be able to talk to you. I said, I just told you, send me WhatsApp and I will make sure it will be done. And Shabbat, alhamdulillah, before 6, I gave them the body, and it was everything sorted out, Bishop.
Jazakallah Khaira for sharing that with us. I want to share, you know, maybe on a light note, you know, the Hearst tribe and all. Our Hussein Mullah, you know him very well. And Mufti A.K. Hussein's cousin had passed away, Gora, you know, Gora Karim. I think you know him well also. Allah Hafiz Kabir Ibn Nur. So what happened? And I said, hey, I'm going to walk to the mayor's house because it's only a street away from me. So I got out of my gate and this hearse was coming through. And it stopped. And he says, you want a lift? And guess who was driving it? Hussein Mullah. And I said, yeah, I know where you're going. You take me to the same house. And it was on a lighter note, you know, the getting, imagine the hearse gave me a lift right to the mayor's house. And I was thinking, like, you know, even you always volunteer to do the hearse driving. Hussein Mullah is always in the forefront, you know. When there's a mayor in this town, you see Hussein Mullah, he's driving that hearse and he's doing many things. And maybe he's like the go-to man. But driving that hearse, what feeling does it give you?
So, but, you know, we like used to this type of work. So, you know, it doesn't, you know, we are so used to it. But, you know, when you're doing somebody's mayat, that, you know what I mean, and especially from Springbok Beach, because we are a close-knit, like a family and close-knit community there. So, you know, when we lose people like that, it gives you a feeling that, you know what, I'm at least I was in the forefront helping that the marhum and Allah giving Jannah, you know, things like that. It gives you this thing, at least I've sorted something out only for the pleasure of Allah. You know, very on a very, very light note, Shafat, you know, in the old days, even St. Augustine Hospital, if you had a Muslim dead there in one of the private hospitals, what they did was, now I'm talking in the old days now, what they do is they gave the contract to doves. Now, you'll find doves, they got their own black hearses. The guy has to wear that white coat. He has to wear his cap. He's branded. His name is there on the white coat with his name there, and with the company name. It's embroidered in the back and everything. So he went. And even for Muslim, so they will take the body to the mortuary. So when I came into power, that's the very first thing I thought, mustn't touch our body and all. I went and did a deal with the SAPS, the Department of Health. I said, no, this can't happen, and Justice Department. So we started doing this for ourselves. If they can do it, we can do it. So that's how we came and sorted that out. Now, there was a non-Muslim body. Doves went to pick up to from Edmonton Hospital. Wherever they go, the policy is they go with a coffin. So he picked up that body from Edmonton Hospital. It was in the peak time around between 4 and 4:30. And if you come in and the body has to go to the government mortuary in Kingston, he's coming from the beachfront, coming through Esplanade. Now, Esplanade at that time, Shabbat, you know how busy it is. Now, not realizing the doctors at the hospital, and they have written that body of his deceased. Now, they put him in the box, and he's driving down Esplanade. Now, what happened is, the guy is by the robot. He stopped, and he's waiting for the robot to turn green. Now that coffin opened, he sees this from the rear view mirror right in the center of the road, Shafat. He left that body there in the center of the road and he ran. Mm. Shafat, this is how they stayed. With that guy, he's a driver of a fully fledged company down, and he left there. He's hurt and he ran away. See how scared they are, Shafat. Unlike us, we got demands. We can pick up one hand here, one leg there. We do things. And it doesn't give us the thing because we got iman. You know, we do it only for the pleasure of Allah. How this guy, this, only the box just opened and he left the hook and he ran away.
Ahmed Parak, listening to Suleiman there, what caught your ears?
Shabbat, you know, he only spoke about three items, and all three items, and nothing else but war. Take the first one, in Ukraine, where the Russia is fighting against the Ukrainian. 500,000 people going to be displaced because of the fire, because the infrastructure of the power, they have no doubt. Now, a can't understand how long is this fight is going to take on, because I see the U.S., the European nation, and the UN are putting money behind this thing. And I see recently Germany is putting the foot forward as the Ukrainian. Now, this is going to finish in the next month, 2 months. It might last for another couple of months, and millions of dollars are going to be wasted here. In fact, nobody, how come the superpowers now, they jump for this? For any, if it was anywhere else in the Middle East, perhaps they'll be jumping and they will be doing something about it. Yeah, because it's Russia, they don't have, they can't talk to Russia because Russia is not going to take the nonsense. So that is the issue they face. Well, how cannot, why they cannot put this pact together? They can do everything else, but they can't do this from Russia. This is a major blow to the Western countries in the world that this is happening. And now everybody is giving tight lips about it. Congo issue, Shafat, is going for a very, very long time. And, you know, I can't understand how the African nations can get together, sit down together. I believe yesterday they had a meeting, but I don't know how long it's been taking. A major issue. The last one, the Myanmar one, the government, you know, the martial law, you know, that is the dictator. And this is how they operate, Shafat.
Absolutely, Ahmed, and a brilliant analysis by you, and I give you full marks, and you know, many do enjoy you when you give your analysis also, and Allah bless you for that. And I'm looking at many questions have come in for you, and this one says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaz Ahmad Khan. Please ask Councillor Ahmad Parak to shed some light on the 30 billion water transfer plant for Durban, and this comes from Sabir. 30 billion water transfer plant for Durban. I wasn't aware of that, but how do you answer Sabir, Ahmed?
Shabbat, Sabir is right, 30 billion. They are talking nonsense. They cannot do it. The city can't do it. They don't have the money for it. Secondly, most importantly, if you go to Tonga as we speak now, and if you speak to your very good learned friend, prosecutor, Riaz, the masjid there as well, the chairman of the masjid, they put a fully fledged 18 million there, the new pump station there. The last 15, 20 days. I'm very, very hard, hoping to ensure this week. I'm giving them a tanker for the usage of the set of cash for the masjid. At the masjid, for them to be assisted for water. How you can let people down like this, spend 80 million and the station is broken less than 2 months from after the new pump station. And the mayor has got the audacity come back today. We have sorted this out. He is lying from his teeth. He's lucky that he survived, tried his vote of non-confidence. He doesn't know that within 90 days, we have got the rights to come back for him. We'll bring another vote of non-confidence and take this in. These people who cannot do their work, Shafat, in council, this back of the ANC members, the executive, the deputy mayor, the mayor, everyone, this all should be removed and a new cabinet should be put in. This all will be in the deficit. There's no way we can fix this. But 57% of our water is wasted. We are losing like 500 million a month. If you take that by 12, 7.2 billion is going to go down the drain because that water is getting wasted. And we don't get water for free from where we buy the water, from the reservoir. We pay for that water, and that water is wasted. Now, that is an issue we keep facing. You know, for them, it's like nothing. They will have one meeting, we'll spend 600,000 rands, and the meeting gets postponed. It's not their money. That is the problem, Shafat.